Hello, everybody. Welcome back into Locked On Colts, part of Locked On Podcast Network. Today's always your host, Evan Setter. I'm joined by our weekly guest on the show, Zach Hicks, Stampy Blue. How you doing today, Zach?
Pretty good, man. Thanks, as always, for having me on this week.
Yeah, no worries, Ed. And we were just talking about off the air before we started here. The Colts season has officially ended now at this point. They're losing to Tampa Bay 38-35 on Sunday. It was a shootout game, but unfortunately, the Colts were in the loss column again. They're now really piling up losses at this point. They're now 6-7 of the season, currently 13th in the draft order. We were just talking off the air, Zach. I think it's officially draft season now for the Colts.
Yeah, you know, I think I saw someone post something today where the Colts have a, I think, 2.6% chance of making the playoffs. So, you know, for the few people out there that want to hold out hope, you know, go ahead and do that. But, you know, really after the Texans game, it was kind of over. And then after last week, against the Titans, even it was definitely over. So this game didn't really matter, in my opinion. These last four games were always kind of like a glorified preseason after we lost the Titans. So you know, it's draft season though. You know, draft season is the most fun time of year outside the playoffs. So you can't be too upset right now. It's draft season.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about this game first. We're going to also hit on some just intriguing draft names, too, as we progressively go out throughout the show with Zach and throughout the rest of the next couple of weeks, because we're getting closer to draft, and it's going to be a lot more interest for the Colts being a little closer to that. But 38-35 final score for the Colts on Sunday, Zach. What was your biggest takeaways from that one? Because I feel like the offensive explosion from the Colts is kind of helped out by Jameis Winston a lot with those turnovers. Darius Leonard went off in this one. What was your overall opinion of this game?
Yeah, so first takeaway is always with this game, especially the defense definitely struggled in this one, and you know it's kind of shocking because all year they've been one of the highlights of this team. You know, they've put together a pretty good season, our fringe top 10 defense in the league according to DVOA. So it's really hard to kind of blame them for anything this whole season, but you know they definitely had their struggles this past weekend. They gave over 500 yards of offense to the Bucks, but you know the Bucks offense is really talented. They're kind of streaky right now. They have their turnovers where the Colts defense forced four turnovers in that game. But yeah, the defense definitely needs to be better, and I think they know that. It is definitely a bad game for them. So that's the biggest takeaway. But the other one, it's a common theme throughout this whole season, is the Colts offense in the fourth quarter has just been lifeless. You know, I mean we saw the Colts went into the fourth quarter with 35-21 lead. And they really couldn't get anything going after having that two-score lead going into the fourth. You know, I don't really care how bad your defense is. If you have a two-score lead against, you know, one of the worst secondaries in football going into the fourth quarter, there's really no excuse to lose the game, you know? So, obviously, the defense is a big reason why they lost. But, man, the offense could have been so much better. And they really blew some chances, you know, with a missed field goal, with a fumble in the red zone, with a couple of, you know, third down and fourth down conversion kind of – failed third and fourth down conversions to end the game late. You know, the offense in the fourth quarter, again, just kind of came up short. And you know, the defense didn't really help out this time like they have all year, but you still got to see more of the offense down the stretch there against such a bad defense. So I think the two biggest takeaways, again, are the defense struggled and the offense just not closing out this game like they've, you know, struggled to do all year.
Yeah, let's talk a little about Jacoby Brissett in this one, Zach, because he was kind of answering some criticisms early on in this game. I was kind of shocked with how aggressive they were offensively, taking so many deep shots with Jacoby. Kind of reminded me a lot of 2017, but 19 of 36 in the box score here, kind of those deep throws overshadowed a really inconsistent performance from Jacoby again. Two touchdowns, zero picks for him, but very wildly inaccurate at points for Jacoby. And I think at this point, it's fair to say that we kind of knew who Jacoby Brissett is.
Yeah, again, we talked about it last week. We talked about the week before. He's a 27-year-old quarterback nearing 30 starts in the NFL. I mean, we just kind of know what he is, you know. And I like that he was being a little bit more aggressive this past week. But, you know, in the fourth quarter when it came down to it, when the team needed to get down the field and score some points, he got really passive again. And he missed throws and he was inaccurate. I mean, he just does not close out games. He has accuracy issues. He has touch and anticipation issues. I don't know. I think we just know what he is at this point. I think he's a good bridge quarterback. I think if the Colts, you know, really do strike out in this next draft class, like say an absurd amount of quarterbacks go like really high in this draft where the Colts just can't get up there and get them, you know, I'm okay with rolling with Brissett again for another year as long as they have in mind that he's not the answer, because I don't think that's what he is. He's not really the answer for this team. But right now, you know, he's not the biggest issue on this roster, but he's not really helping them win games. So
again, good locker room guy, good backup quarterback, good bridge quarterback, but yeah, he's just not your franchise guy. I think we're pretty set on that being the thing now here in Indy.
Let me move on here to the running game from this game, specifically, Zach, because you look at 22 carries, 66 yards, and a touchdown. Marlon Mack only had 38 yards on 13 carries, two cut off his broken hand. I think this is kind of the match we were talking about here last week, just like at this Tampa Bay matchup, because they had such a good run defense, and they're forced Jacoby to win this game. I really think that it's been interesting, the offensive line, their struggles so far this year against actually really good elite defenses.
That league-wide, though, I mean, I think – you know, the top rush defenses league-wide are, you know, they're pretty good against whoever they face. It really helps me have guys like Vita Vea and Devin White there up the middle. I think they have a couple other guys up there. Even Barrett's a pretty good run defender on the defensive end, and Jason Pierre-Paul is also having a really good year in run defense. They're just a really, you know, stout run defense, and when you don't really have too much fear of the pass beating you, and again, the Colts did a good job of getting the ball down the field and getting those chunk plays early in this one. But, you know, when there really isn't that constant fear of getting beat over the top, you can kind of commit more guys to the box. So I think we're seeing that a lot against the Colts this year and why there were some struggles. But even going beyond that, you know, you look at the running back group, Marlon Mack was dinged up, and he got a majority of the carries. So it was his first action in weeks going against the top run defense in football. And I think the offensive line did an okay job. It's just overall it wasn't good enough. So there's some concerns there, but I think when they get another quarterback out there and Marlon Mack gets healthy again and gets kind of back in a groove, I think the run game will be fine. I think it's really not even near the top of the list in the list of worries right now. The run game, I think, will be fine overall. Just kind of got to work on, you know, the passing game, the receivers out there and kind of being more balanced in their play calls.
Let's go to the defense here, Zach, now for a minute on this Buccaneers game, and let's hit the positive first, and that's Darius Leonard in this one. He had 9 tackles. He had 2 interceptions, 1 that went for a touchdown, a couple tackles for loss, 2, a pass deflection as well. Leonard's just been a monster since he's been back from his concussion, Zach, and he has 92 tackles in his last 10 games since coming back. Overall, throughout the season, he also has 4 interceptions, 5 sacks. Just incredible numbers from Darius Leonard in only 10 games, and I think he's proven to everyone right now he's arguably one of the best inside linebackers in the NFL.
Yeah, and you know, the biggest thing that I don't think people are talking about enough here is what Matt Eberflus and Frank Reich and all the coaching staff has done with him recently. I mean, we saw early in the year how Leonard was having his struggles, especially, you know, in those zone drops and dropping in the coverage like a normal inside linebacker would have to do. He kind of struggled in that open space, open field area. And, you know, most coaches wouldn't do this, but the Colts understand the strengths of their player. What they kind of did was they put him in more attacking situations. They put him more around the line of scrimmage, you know, on those third downs, on those obvious passing plays. They put him in more blitzing, more spy situations. I mean, we even saw on Leonard's pick six, he was fake blitzing. He dropped off into the flat and got that pick six on the angle route to the running back. So even that, you know, you can see it on film that they're attacking more, and Winston even knew that. He anticipated, you know, Leonard coming up on the blitz. And it led to the pick six. So I think they're doing a really good job with Leonard, getting him more downfield, more attacking, instead of him having to sit back, react, and kind of wait for guys to make their move. And that's where we saw, you know, mistakes against the Titans, the Chargers, the Steelers. He had a couple mistakes. I think since then, the coaching staff's done a really good job at kind of changing how they're using their star linebacker. And I think that takes a lot of, I wouldn't say guts, but I think that's really rare to see from a coaching staff, because most coaching staffs would be like, hey, this is our star player. He's going to have to do everything for us. The Colts coaching staff kind of realized, look, Leonard is a star player, but we got to get him in situations that are best for him. And as a result, he's turning out another, you know, potential All-Pro and Pro Bowl season. So great play by Leonard lately, but I think the coaching staff deserves, you know, not all the praise, but a good bit of the praise for getting him back in situations where he can be most comfortable.
If you're a Spotify listener, use Spotify Wrap to show us your top Locked On podcast for the year. Take a screenshot and tag us at Locked On Live and also at Locked On Colts on Twitter, and we will make sure to share and retweet that all for you guys. This episode is also sponsored by Blue Chew. Guys, remember the days when you're always ready to go? Make your crease performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up. BlueChew.com, that's blue like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. Blue Chew is prescribed online by licensed physicians, so you don't have to go to the doctor's office or wait in line at the pharmacy, and it ships right to your door in a discreet package so there's no inconvenience involved. Make sure as well to use our promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON. Again, that is BlueChew.com and promo code LOCKEDON to try this offer absolutely free.
Yeah, Leonard certainly is proving a point over the last couple of weeks because he's putting up just incredible games and how aggressive he is. We're seeing the rookie version of Leonard and maybe even better improved version of Leonard right now. And that's super exciting for Colts fans. But let's dive in now to the Buccaneers stats for a second here. Jameis Winston, 3 interceptions, of course. Typical Jameis game, but 156 yards, Zach. The pass defense was just torched by Jameis Winston on Sunday. And I'm surprised by the lack of not doing, like, mixing of concepts on defense by Matt Eberflus. I know they're down Kenny Moore. Rocky Sin got hurt in this game, but zone coverage against even the most average quarterback so far this year against Jameis Winston, who's a very aggressive quarterback. We saw it week one as well against Philip Rivers. Teams just slice up the zone defense when they get it going.
Yeah, you know, I think to a degree, and this is not making excuse to the defense, they had a bad game overall. To a degree, I think all these injuries have kind of played a role in the secondary, not really getting on the same mindset here. You know, they're having a lot of miscommunications out there. You know, we saw a lot of open guys for scores, which, you know, throughout the year we've seen a little bit of that from the Colts defense, but for the most part they've been pretty good about that. But I think, you know, with Pierre Desir missing time, with Rocky Sin missing time, with Malik Hooker missing time, I think overall these guys just haven't played a lot with each other. And I think as a result, you're seeing a lot of those miscommunications out there. You know, even Kari Willis missed some time this year. So I think every one of the starters that have played, you know, Kenny Moore wasn't even out there this past weekend either. All the starters in the secondary just haven't played together enough to where I think that you are seeing those miscommunications out there. But overall, again, they do need to get better. I think Pierre Desir is still a little bit hampered by that hamstring injury that he had early in the year. I think Rocky Sin and Malik Hooker is still a little banged up too. But they definitely need to do better going forward. But like we said earlier to start the show off, they have been a bright spot this year. I mean, the secondary has been very good, especially, you know, with a pass rush that hasn't been very consistent all season. The secondary has been doing a pretty good job. So I think this is just one really bad game. I think they had a lot of miscommunications, and I think Eberflus was kind of caught off guard by Winston, you know, kind of testing the zones like he did and finding those open guys. But, you know, I think going forward, they're going to be fine. I think the defense will be fine. I think once these guys are healthy and once they're on the same, you know, right on the same mindset together, I think they'll be okay.
Let's move on now, Zach. I know maybe a lot of listeners are really ready to move on as to draft season as well as just looking ahead to the offseason here, because I think it's going to be a really interesting one for this Colts team. But overall, what is your opinion about what Chris Bauer could do this offseason? Because $100 million in cap space, and you have possibly a couple high draft picks too. I think it's a really big offseason for him.
Yeah, you know, I think we will see him be a little bit more aggressive. You know, starting with free agency, I think we will see him be a little bit more aggressive. And, you know, from all the reported interest that he's had in guys, and kind of to add to this, you know, the reported interest he had in these guys wasn't after they had big seasons after the free agency. So, you know, like Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith, C.J. Mosley, who I know isn't having the greatest season. But the two Smiths, for instance, there was a lot of reported interest that Ballard had in those guys, that he was interested in bringing them here to Indy, but he didn't want to hit the price points. Both those guys end up having great seasons at Green Bay. So I think he understands, you know, how to evaluate this free agent talent. I mean, he got Justin Houston here. Denico Autry, even though he's had a down year this year, was a good addition. And Jabal Sheard was a good addition a couple years ago as well. So I think he understands how to evaluate free agent talent. And I think with the added cap that he has this year and kind of the need to add more talent to this roster through free agency, I think we'll see him be a little bit more aggressive. I know a lot of Colts fans aren't holding out hope and saying that he will, but, you know, there's a lot of young guys out there that I think he's going to have his eye on. So I do think, you know, in free agency, he'll tack a little bit and he'll do his thing in the draft. I mean, I think the Redskins pick is an excellent position for, you know, say they go quarterback at pick 13 or 12 or wherever they are. That 35th spot is a really good position to either trade back into that first round to get a, you know, star guy and get that fifth year option on him, or to sit tight there at the 35th pick and you'll still get a really good player. So whatever he wants to do, I think he's got a lot of options in the draft, and I think he's going to have one of his better free agent class this year. I think, again, there's no reason not to have faith in Chris Ballard and Frank Reich. They've really shown they know what they're doing at this point. I mean, even this year it's kind of a down year, but they kind of got blindsided by their star quarterback going, you know, retiring right before the season. So I think they're going to be fine going forward. I think we've got to sit back and kind of wait to see what they're going to do, because it's going to be a fun offseason.
What would you say, Zach, are the biggest needs for this team this offseason? I know we talked about quarterback
a lot over the past couple of weeks, but what else do you think are the most glaring needs for this team that they should address pretty fast in free agency or the draft?
Yeah, you know, I think quarterback is probably the top need just because of how important that position is. But after that, I think you have to look at wide receiver, just getting another, you know, number two, you know, pretty bona fide number two receiver. Doesn't have to be a free agent guy. Can be a pretty high draft pick as well that they have, you know, high beliefs in as well. Getting a number two receiver to go with T.Y. Hilton and hopefully Paris Campbell in the slot when he's healthy next season as well. But I think after wide receiver, you know, you can look at a lot of positions, you know, tight end, like a receiving tight end, just to kind of stretch the field a little bit if Eric Ebron's not back. Potentially right guard if they don't believe in Mark Lewinsky going forward. And then on the defensive side, I think you could, you know, add a depth corner out there, a depth safety, and even, you know, a depth pass rusher or a starting defensive tackle. So I think there's a couple of needs for sure, but the highest ones I would go with are quarterback, wide receiver, and probably a pass rushing defensive tackle to kind of pair with Tonico Autry on the inside.
Now, we talked a lot about quarterback specifically, but I tweeted this out on the Locked On Colts counter earlier. If you haven't already, go ahead and follow at Locked On Colts. But I have three quarterbacks I tweeted out as far as games that Colts fans should really be watching in the next couple weeks for bowl season. That's Jordan Love, December 20th against Kent State. Then you have Jacob Eason, the Washington quarterback, the next night against Boise State. Then Justin Herbert closes it out January 1st against Wisconsin. I feel like those three guys are the most realistic options for the Colts at quarterback if they want to draft one early on. I think Tua's still going to go pretty high, but if Tua's on the board, the Colts should definitely be interested in him as well. What's your preference on quarterbacks right now, Zach, and what do you think about those three in Love, Eason, and Herbert?
Yeah, for me, I think those are the three guys. I'm with you. I think Tua's going to go just way too high for the Colts to really have a chance. I think he's still going to go top five, maybe top 10 at the worst. But I think those three guys are probably my top options. Well, preferably if I had to rank those three in my preference, and this is not, you know, Ballard's preference or anyone else's preference, it's just mine. I would go Love, then Herbert, then Eason. I do think all of them have the upside to be a starting quarterback in this league and pretty good starters. But Love is number one just because, you know, like we talked about last week, I believe we were talking about him last week. I think he has the upside to be a superstar in this league. And I think that Frank Reich and Tom House and you know, Chris Ballard putting a good team around him, I think he can actually hit that potential here in Indy. So that would be my number one target for sure, a quarterback for the Colts.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think Jordan Love train is really full steam right now for a lot of Colts fans who are very intrigued by the prospect of adding him to this team. But I think we should talk about more general news today that we saw. And speaking on Paris Campbell for a second, Zach, because he had his fourth injury occur during the game against Tampa Bay. Third surgery needed. He's out for the season now. Frank Reich announced alongside Adam Vinatieri. Paris Campbell broke his foot, Zach. Are you worried at all about his durability? Because we didn't see his issues at Ohio State. I think it's one of those weird years where everything's going wrong for Paris Campbell.
Yeah, and, you know, it's tough to say durability because I don't really count bone injuries as durability, in my opinion. You know, when a guy breaks his foot, I think he broke part of his hand a couple weeks ago as well. Those are kind of freak things. You know, breaks don't really happen all the time. When you question a guy's durability, it's mostly to do with, you know, muscle injuries. And he even had a couple of those as well this year. But I think just, you know, the majority of these injuries have sidelined him for a while has been, you know, the bone injuries that I think are kind of freak injuries. So I think it's just been a rough year for him. I think going forward, you know, he should be good. Hopefully it hasn't done anything to affect his speed and playmaking ability for next year. But personally, I think it's just been a tough year for him. It's been a rough season. I think, you know, it's good to hit that IR and kind of get healthy for next year and start off, you know, on a better foot next season. So hopefully he can kind of hit that potential that the Colts had in mind when they drafted him next year. But we'll have to wait and see. I mean, he showed some flashes this year, but we'll have to, you know, all we can really do right now is wait and see and if he's going to, you know, pan out and hit that potential.
The original Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams for a quality sleep surface with the right amount of both sink and bounce to it. Get $100 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/lockednfl and use LockedNFL, LockedNFL at checkout. Terms and conditions may also apply. If you can't visit Casper right now and you can't find or any other offers for Locked On sponsors, go to lockedonpodcast.com/offers for all of our information. Again, that's lockedonpodcast.com/offers, and make sure to go visit Casper and get yourself a new mattress. And the new guard officially has happened now for the Colts at the kicker position, Zach. Adam Vinatieri went on injured reserve. Not surprising after what happened with signing Chase McLaughlin early last week. McLaughlin really did very well on Sunday outside, missing that one kick that went off the uprights. He was heard on extra points, did hit a 50-yarder as well with his first kick as a Colt. I really like McLaughlin long-term. He's only 23 years old. And also Vinatieri, I think we should talk about him for a second here too, Zach, because I feel like this is an end of an era. One of the greatest kickers of all time is probably done for the rest of his career.
Yeah, you know, personally, I'm not a huge fan of kickers overall, but, you know, Adam Vinatieri is the best that's ever been. He will be the best kicker that's probably ever going to exist, maybe outside of Justin Tucker if he wins a couple championships. So, you know, it's been a great career for Adam Vinatieri, and it kind of sucks it had to end the way it did this year. You know, his last kick of his career is going to be a block kick return for a touchdown, unfortunately. But hats off to a great career with him. You know, won championships with New England and with Indy. And hopefully we'll see him in Hall of Fame. I'm sure we'll see him in the Hall of Fame one day. So it kind of sucks. But, you know, McLaughlin or whatever looked pretty good this past weekend. So hopefully he doesn't hit the lows that Vinny hit this year, and I think he'll be fine going forward. But you know, hats off to a great career for Adam Vinatieri. Hopefully we do see him in the Hall of Fame someday.
Looking ahead now, Zach, just for a couple minutes at this New Orleans game, because at this point we started the show talking about it. The season is really over for the Colts as far as playoff implications go. What are you most intrigued by, maybe as far as next Monday goes in New Orleans? Because I just have a really bad feeling with the way that the Saints lost 40-46 at home to the 49ers. They're going to come out with a purpose next Monday. I think it could get really ugly for the Colts.
Yeah, you know, honestly, at this point, I just want to see a couple things each game. Because like I kind of said at the start of the show, these last four games were basically glorified preseason games, or as they really don't matter in terms of record except for, you know, getting a higher draft pick. So you just want to see your team go out there, be competitive, and you know, see young guys kind of stepping up. So my biggest things I want to see, though, is I want to see the defense kind of get back on track. Obviously, they don't need to, you know, shut out the Saints offense. The Saints offense is pretty great. But just have a bounce-back game. You know, get off the field a little bit more on third down. Force a couple turnovers against a really good Saints offense. I really want to see that. And I want to see Eberflus kind of get back to, you know, how he was coaching for most of the season, rather than what was going on last weekend. So I want to see that. And then I also want to see some young guys step up, you know. I want to see, you know, maybe Moelle Cox get a little bit involved in the passing game. I want to see Nyheim Hines, Marlon Mack kind of get back on a roll. You know, I want to see Marcus Johnson and Zach Pascal. So, you know, like they did this past weekend, get involved in the passing game. And then on defense, you know, maybe Ben Bonigou getting out there a little bit more, Bobby Okereke getting more snaps out there and looking good. I just want to see these young guys kind of show some progression, obviously stay healthy, and really show out against the really good Saints team. But, you know, obviously I don't expect to win this week, but I just want to see them, you know, stay competitive, see the defense get back on track and some young guys, you know, get back into a groove that they were earlier in the year.
Close up the show here, Zach. Appreciate the time as always. Just wanted to close it out talking about just the Colts record overall. They're 6-7. They have three games left against the Saints. I assume they're going to lose against New Orleans, but Carolina and Jacksonville are two intriguing teams from a win-loss perspective because they're kind of going the opposite directions right now like the Colts are, especially Jacksonville. I feel like they've kind of quit on their season right now. How important, though, is it for this team? I think embracing the tank is going to happen internally. For the Colts, of course, it's not going to happen at all, but how important is it for this Colts team to maybe finish with a 6-10 record and get a top 10 pick in a year where it seems like it's a very important offseason? We were talking about earlier in the show, just having a top 10 pick in your back pocket with also the ammunition they have, maybe they can trade up even higher than that. I feel like this is a very important next few weeks for them.
Yeah. And man, it's really tough too, because we all know this Colts roster is not 6-10 bad. We know they're more of an 8-8 to 9-7 type team. They've had a couple of breaks go bad against them. They've had a couple of bad moments this year, but they are a better team than what their record's saying. I think the biggest issue going forward when it comes to embrace the tank is you obviously don't want guys going out there with the mindset of embrace the tank, and that'll never happen in the NFL because guys are playing for their jobs. So we'll see what happens with Carolina and Jacksonville. I don't expect the Colts at all to win this weekend, but Carolina and Jacksonville, I mean, the Colts are better than both those teams. They have a better defense. They have a better offense than both those teams, especially Jacksonville. Like you said, they're kind of quitting on the season. So we'll really have to see what goes on in those games. I don't think that the Colts, you know, I don't think guys like Darius Leonard and Quentin Nelson are going to give up and try to embrace the tank. But it would definitely benefit the Colts long term if they do hit that 6-10 to get that top 10 pick, or, you know, right outside the top 10 pick, because the difference between 6-10, you know, is getting somewhere from 9-11 to, you know, pick 16-18. And that's a big difference here in the NFL. So we'll see what happens the rest of the year. I don't want to say hopefully they lose those last couple games, but it would definitely help them for draft pick status. But we'll have to just see what happens. I mean, again, I don't envision this team giving up whatsoever.
Yeah, definitely agree with you there. That's not going to happen at all. I just wonder, of course, what the implications could be if the Colts maybe win their last two games compared to losing. Because like you just mentioned, it could be like a 9 or 10 overall pick in the draft, or maybe 17, 18 if they go 8-8, or maybe even lower than that. Maybe it's closer to 20 if they go 8-8. So it's going to be a really interesting stretch from that position over the next couple weeks for the Colts. You guys can follow Zach on Twitter if you haven't already. Add Zach Hicks too. Zach, as always, appreciate the time.
Yeah, of course, man. Thanks for having me on.